He got them down to the sidewalk without having to stop and rest, at least. Mr. Biderman was out of the car by then, first putting a casual kiss on his mother's cheek, then shaking out the key that opened the trunk. "How you doing, sport? How's the boy?" Mr. Biderman always called Bobby sport. "Lug him around back and I'll slide him in. Women always have to bring the farm, don't they? Well, you know the old saying, can't live with him, can't shoot him outside the state of Montana." He bared his teeth in a grin that made Bobby think of Jack in Lord of the Flies. "Want me to take one?" "I've got him," Bobby said. He trudged grimly in Mr. Biderman's wake, shoulders aching, the back of his neck hot and starting to sweat. Mr. Biderman opened the trunk, plucked the suitcases from Bobby's hands, and slid them in with the rest of the luggage. Behind them, his mom was looking in the back window and talking with the other two men who were going. She laughed at something one of them said. To Bobby, the laugh sounded about as real as a wooden leg. Mr. Biderman closed the trunk and looked down at Bobby. He was a narrow man with a wide face. His cheeks were always flushed. You could see his pink scalp and the tracks left by the teeth of his comb. He wore little round glasses with gold rims. To Bobby, his smile looked as real as his mother's laugh had sounded. "Gonna play some baseball this summer, sport?" Don Biderman bent his knees a little and cocked an imaginary bat. Bobby thought he looked like a dope. "Yes, sir, I'm one of the Wolves at Sterling House. I was hoping to make the Lions, but..." "Good, good." Mr. Biderman made a big deal of looking at his watch. The wide gold Twist-O-Flex band was dazzling in the early sunshine, and then patted Bobby's cheek. Bobby had to make a conscious effort not to cringe from his touch. "Say, we gotta get this wagon train rolling. Shake her easy, sport. Thanks for the loan of your mother." He turned away and escorted Liz around the Mercury to the passenger side. He did this with a hand pressed to her back. Bobby liked that even less than watching the guy smooch her cheek. He glanced at the well-padded, business-suited men in the rear seat. Dean was the other guy's name, he remembered. Just in time to see them elbowing each other. Both were grinning. "Something's wrong here," Bobby thought. And as Mr. Biderman opened the passenger door for his mother, as she murmured her thanks and slid in, gathering her dress a little so it wouldn't wrinkle, he had an urge to tell her not to go. Rhode Island was too far away. Bridgeport would be too far away. She needed to stay home. He said nothing, though, only stood on the curb as Mr. Biderman closed her door and walked back around to the driver's side. He opened that door, paused, and then did his stupid little batter-up pantomime again. This time he added an asinine fanny wiggle. What a nimrod, Bobby thought. "Don't do anything I wouldn't do, sport," he said. "But if you do, name it after me," Cushman called from the back seat. Bobby didn't know exactly what that meant, but it must have been funny because Dean laughed, and Mr. Biderman tipped him one of those just-between-us-guys winks.